أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم افتح علينا بحكمتك وانشر علينا برحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We start tonight inshallah with a series of stories that were narrated in Surah Al-Kahf, the chapter of Al-Kahf, or the cave. And we actually have started that last session when we spoke about Prophet Musa alayhi salam and his encounter with the knowledgeable person, or Al-Khadr. And we learned from that encounter the value of knowledge and the value of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge. And I thought it would be good to continue on the same lines and to continue within Surah Al-Kahf and trying to learn more about these series of stories. Surah Al-Kahf, there is many actually hadith about the surah by itself, and many of them are authentic, solid hadith. One of them is narrated in Sahih Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, on the authority of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said, من حفظ عشر آيات من أول سورة الكهف عصم من الدجال. The Prophet said, whomever memorizes the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf will be protected from the fitna, from the trials and tribulation of the false Messiah, or Ad-Dajjal. And we know the false Messiah, or Ad-Dajjal, will be the worst and the most enormous, the most horrendous tribulation that humanity will ever face. And protection from that will come from memorizing the first, the opening, Fawatih, Surah Al-Kahf. And why Surah Al-Kahf? What does it mean? And what is in Surah Al-Kahf to protect us from fitna? And that's inshallah what we're going to be going through in a few sessions. And we'll come back to the story of Ad-Dajjal at the end of it, and then analyze Surah Al-Kahf to understand, after we go through all of these stories, why Surah Al-Kahf, inshallah. Wallahu alam. So the beautiful Surah Al-Kahf really starts. It has the praise of Allah, Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا, the straight book, the book that has no deviation, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا. It is a glad tidings for the believers that do the right deeds, that they have great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not going through the exact translations here. مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. It's an eternal reward. وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And it's a warning for those who say Allah has a child, has a son. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِأَبَائِهِمْ. They have no direct knowledge of these things, not for their predecessors, not for their fathers. كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. It is a huge word, it's a tremendous claim that they said, and it is a false claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا. Are you going to let yourself perish over that, over them not heeding the call, not hearing the right words of truth, just feeling bad, feeling sorry for them? And then Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Indeed, we have beautified everything upon the earth. Everything upon the earth has become made attractive to humanity. But it is not but a trial and a test. So you see, the theme of Surah Al-Kahf starts there. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ. It's a trial. It's a test. It's a fitna. And then all the stories of Surah Al-Kahf go through different types of fitna, different types of trials and tribulation, different types of tests that humanity will be facing in our life and in our iman. And then Allah said the end of it, وَإِنَّ لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. And then starts with the first story. And this first story is the story of the people of the Kahf, the people of the cave. Now, this story is known not only to us, but it's known to the people of the scripture. It is known to Ahlul Kitab. And actually, they call them the sleepers of Ephesus, the sleeping people of the city of Ephesus. And Ephesus is a city in Turkey. It's on the Mediterranean shore. And it is an ancient city, and currently there is a city in Turkey called Tarsus that is close to that place. Now, the hadith that is narrated by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas that explains to us how this came about. How the Prophet ﷺ was asked questions that were brought to him from the people of the book. And Surah Al-Kahf came to answer a lot of these questions. Now this hadith is a gharib hadith. It's a strange hadith. It doesn't have a high grade of authenticity, because we know to have a high grade of authenticity in the hadith has to be narrated through a very solid and continuous, uninterrupted chain of narrators. A narrator of hadith upon a narrator of hadith upon a narrator of hadith upon a tabi'i, upon a follower, upon a sahabi, upon a companion of the Prophet ﷺ who heard it directly from the Prophet ﷺ. This hadith that is very well known actually amongst a lot of people is an interrupted hadith. There is one in the chain of the narration that is majhul, it's unknown. So the hadith goes, عن رجل عن سعيد بن جبير عن عبد الله بن عباس. A man narrated upon the authority of Sa'id ibn Jubair, who is one of the great tabi'een, upon the authority of the sahabi Abdullah ibn Abbas. And because of that, this hadith does not get higher to the level of authenticity. And the knowledgeable people of hadith, they said, if there is not this one narrator, it would have been a good hadith, based on the criteria of accepting a good hadith. But this hadith says that the pagans of Quraysh wanted to challenge the Prophet ﷺ, and that's during the Meccan period, when the Prophet ﷺ lived in Mecca. And they wanted to get some challenges from the people of the scripture, those who have knowledge of other religions, to see if the Prophet ﷺ is a true prophet. And for that mission, they chose two of the worst enemies of the Prophet ﷺ. One of them was called An-Nadr ibn Harith, and An-Nadr used to always claim that the Prophet ﷺ is nothing but a person who narrates the old stories, legends of the old. أساطير الأولين قال إن هي إلا أساطير الأولين, just legends of the old, just stories. And he would gather the Meccan, he said, Muhammad has stories and I have stories, and let me tell you. And he would just give confabulations and other stories and, you know, mythologies and things like that. The second person that was chosen for this mission is Uqbah ibn Abi Ma'it. And Uqbah is a person that almost came into Islam. And then he rejected Islam in a very violent way. Abu Jahl came to him and he said, we will not talk to each other, and you will not be my friend if you believe in Muhammad, and I will not accept you unless you go and spit in the face of the Prophet ﷺ. And this enemy of Allah did that. And then Al-Quran, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these two people in two different parts of the Quran and cursed them. And Uqba is described in the Quran as it's by the interpreters of the Quran as he would be biting his hands in regret. He said, "Ya waylata laytani ittakhadhtu ma'a ar-rasuli sabila, ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila." Probably missed the verse a little bit, but he would regret his friendship with the kuffar, and he would regret that position in the day of judgment. Both of these people were killed in Badr. Both of these people found their end in the Battle of Badr. So these two went to the rabbis in Medina. Medina had a large Jewish community, and there were learned people in the Jewish scripture, in the scrolls of the Torah. And they asked them, they said, how can we test this prophet? What can we ask him things to see if his claims are true or not? So the rabbi said, ask him about three things. Ask him about young people that were in the old times and they have a wondrous affair. Something very amazing happened to them. And they didn't tell those pagans what to say other than that. And then ask him about a man who went to all corners of the earth, and he was a king that owned, that actually dominated most of the corners of the earth. رَجُلٌ طَافَ طَوَّافٌ طَافَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. And then ask him about the third thing, ask him about the ruh. Ask him about a ruh. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, they told him, answer us all these three things, O Muhammad, and we will test your prophecy. And the Prophet ﷺ, according to this hadith, and again, this hadith does not rise to the level of highest authenticity, but it is narrated in most books of Tafsir al-Quran, of Tafsir, and it is narrated in the majority of books of Asbab al-Nuzul, the reasons why certain verses were revealed. There are actually books that detail that. So the Prophet said, tomorrow I will bring the answer to you. And one thing that the Prophet ﷺ did not say is the word that we learned, and an entire ummah was taught after that, is to say, inshallah. Say, if Allah wills it, inshallah, if Allah ordains for that to happen. So after 15 days, the Prophet ﷺ would not have an answer. And then finally, Jibreel ﷺ comes to the Prophet ﷺ with the revelations of Surah Al-Kahf. And in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah tells our Prophet and tells the Ummah and tells humanity, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. No, don't ever say to anything that I will do that tomorrow unless inshaAllah, unless inshaAllah, unless Allah wills it. The story of the people of the cave, and in Surah Al-Kahf, there is basically five stories. There is the story of the people of the cave. There's a story of two men that had a discussion. One of them had two gardens, owned two gardens, and we will go into that next, inshallah. And right in the middle of Surah Al-Kahf, there's a small reference, short reference, to the story of Iblis, la'anahu Allah. And then there is the story of Musa and Al-Khadr that we have already went through in the last session, and we might touch on that later on briefly. And then the fourth story is the story of this person that went through the east and the west, and this, his name is Dhul-Qarnayn. So the first story starts in verse 9. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Or do you think, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people of the cave and the inscription were a wonder among our signs? Now, the translation obviously is a translation of the interpretation of the translator, is what the translator understood of the verse. The Al-Kahf is clearly the cave. The Kahf has got no ambiguity in the understanding of what the word Kahf means. But Ar-Raqim, the word Ar-Raqim, Allah says, أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the interpreters of the Quran, what is narrated to us, they had differences in understanding the word Ar-Raqim. Some said that Ar-Raqim is the valley where that cave is present in. And some said Ar-Raqim is the name of a village where this story actually took place. And the majority said that Ar-Raqim is it an inscription. It is a tablet or a place where actually the events of the story were recorded, and it's preserved in that cave, or the names of these people were preserved in that inscription. But it's one of three things that Ibn Abbas narrated, that Ibn Abbas said, this one of three things that I don't understand, that I cannot have full understanding for the actual meaning of the word. But also there are narrations of Ibn Abbas that he said it is the inscription, it is the place, and that's where the news or the names of the people of the cave were recorded at. But Allah says, do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription, or the Ar-Raqim I should say, were a wonder among our signs? Allah is telling us, they challenged the Prophet and they said an amazing, a wondrous miracle happened to these people. And Allah says, yes, it is a wondrous thing, but my signs are greater than that. The wonders of Allah never cease to exist. The wonders of Allah are much bigger than this story. But it is a wondrous story. It is a story that is amazing. But Allah is saying that His ayat are even much more glorious and much bigger and much more, has much more impact and influence on the heart of the believer. And then the short version of that, Allah summarizes how this occurred and what happened there. The verse number 10, Allah says, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Remember when the young men, Allah describes them as fitya. And that's an important understanding. The fitya, they're not really into the mature adulthood phase yet. Fata in the Arabic language could be somebody in their teens. They're young people. They're young people. And those people are believers. إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Allah says when young men fled for refuge from their disbelieving folk to the cave. So the cave is a place of hiding. It's a refuge that these young believing people took the shelter in. And they said, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. They said, our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And facilitate for us our affair in the right path or in the right way. And then Allah says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. And we covered up their sense of hearing, meaning they went into a very deep sound sleep. فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. A number of years, which will be explained later. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. And then we raised them up from their sleep, from their deep sleep. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. Now al-ba'ath, we know when the word ba'atha or yawm al-ba'ath, it's the day of resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described sleeping as the minor death. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَنَامِهَا. Allah takes the souls when people are asleep. So sleeping, as the ulama said, النوم أخو الموت. The sleeping is the brother of death or a cousin of death. It is similar to death, but it's a minor death. And our souls are in the hands of Allah when we are in a deep sleep. So Allah appropriately is saying, and this is Quran Hakim, and there's nothing you can change about the Quran that will bring the meaning. Allah says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. Then we raised them up. We resurrected them from their deep sleep. لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. That we might test which of the two parties was best at calculating the time period that they had tarried. And that tells us that there were two conflicting opinions about how long these people slept. Now, in the people of the book's affairs, and actually if you just look up the story of the sleepers of Ephesus, the majority of the people of the Christian faith believe that they went to sleep 250 AD and they got up around 345. So they think there was about 90 years, and in some narrations about 100 years. And we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put that question to rest and will tell us exactly per how long these people slept. And the conflict remains obviously among the people of the scripture, but it is settled for this ummah. This ummah that believes in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah tells us exactly how long that period was. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. Now, there is a hadith. Now, the second hadith that I'm going to say is narrated with a sahih isnad, with the authentic isnad, with an authentic narrations, and it is on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it isn't uninterrupted, but it's really more of, it is the words of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who is the interpreter of the Quran. So it is an athar that is narrated by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And it happened during an expedition that Abdullah ibn Abbas was a soldier in that expedition that was going to Asia Minor. And Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, is actually in Asia Minor. It's in Turkey, Anatolia. And the expedition that went there was led by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. And he was Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time, he was not Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time. He was under the commanders. He was a commander of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was a commander of the army that was sent by Amir al-Mu'mineen to invade or to conquer or to have an expedition into Byzantium, which was dominant in Asia Minor. But then the Abdullah ibn Abbas says, غَزَوْنَا مَعَ مُعَاوِيَةَ غَزْوَةَ الْمَصِيفِ. And that was the name of the expedition. He said, فَمَرُّوا فِي الْبِالْكَهْفِ الَّذِي فِيهِ أَصْحَابُ الْكَهْفِ. And we passed by the cave where the people of the cave were. الَّذِينَ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. فَقَالَ مُعَاوِيَةَ لَوْ كُشِفَ لَنَا عَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ فَنَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ. What if we can just get into the cave and we can look at those people? We want to see. You know, want to see this sign of Allah. And Ibn Abbas said, لَيْسَ لَكَ ذَلِكَ. That's not offered to you. You cannot do that. لَقَدْ مَنَعَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْكَ. Allah prevented who is better than you to look into this. And he said, لَوْ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. Allah said to his Prophet, if you are to look of them, that you would turn away in fear and you would run away, the way that they are present in that cave. And then Muawiyah said, I will not leave until I know what happened, until I know knowledge from them. And then Ibn Abbas started telling the story of the people of the cave, as it is narrated to him. And he said, they were in a kingdom. So this is the background of those people of the cave. That we, how do we know that? We get it from this hadith. He said, كانوا في مملكة من الجبابرة. That they were tyrants. They were living under a pagan or a disbelieving king who is a tyrant. And he was oppressing the believers. At that time, he said, فَجَعَلُوا يَعْبُدُونَ الْأَوْثَانِ. And they were worshipping idols. وَهَؤُلَاءِ الْفِتْيَةُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ. And those young people lived in that city. And then he said, and then when the oppression became so tough and so severe upon them, they decided to leave that city. And according to this hadith in Ibn Abbas, that they left and they did not know where they're going. They had no idea where to go. All they needed to do, all they had in their mind, is to escape with their religion. And it was narrated that those were children of a very powerful people in that city, of very rich people. They were not just, they were really from the nobility of that town. And they left everything behind. They left their money. They left their comfortable living. They left the palaces of their fathers and mothers. They left the compassion of their parents. They left all of that good food and the comfortable beds, and they just wanted to escape with La ilaha illallah. They wanted to escape with the word of Tawheed. And Ibn Abbas said that they gathered outside the city and they did not know what to do. And here's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an. And inshallah we'll try to go with the hadith and the verses that corroborate what that hadith is all about. Allah says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. We narrate unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O believers, their story with truth. So this is, if you want the truth, you want the right story about those people of the cave, here it is. It is coming in the book of Allah, الَّذِي لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ أَمَامِهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. There is no falsehood in this book. And Allah says, بِالْحَقِّ, in truth. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةً. They were young people. They were young men. آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They believed in Allah. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. And we increased them in guidance. And the important lesson, and we are reflecting on these stories that most of us actually know the events to really extrapolate a lot of these lessons. Allah says, آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. They believed in Allah, Allah increased their guidance. You walk to Allah, Allah runs to you. You get closer to Allah in arm's length, Allah comes to you much longer length. You come to Him walking, He will come to you faster. And this is what Allah says. You want guidance? Have iman. You start. You have to obey Allah. Look into the truth and follow the guidance of His prophets and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will find a way. Allah will give you guidance. So Allah says, "Amanu bi Rabbihim wa zidnahum huda." And not only that, Allah says, "Warabatna ala qulubihim," and we made their hearts firm and strong. So Allah gave them guidance and gave them strength. Gave them what? Thabat. Gave them steadfastness because of their iman. They made the sacrifice. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you as a mu'min, as a believer, you cannot be passive. You have to be active in your iman. You have to be active in your faith. These people were active. They did not sit home and they said, what do? We can't worship Allah. We'll just take the oppression. No, they left town. They left everything behind. They made the sacrifice. And Allah responded to their sacrifice by increasing their guidance, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and then we made their hearts firm and strong. So Allah rewards those. Allah says in the Qur'an, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those who strive and struggle for the sake of Allah, Allah will give them huda, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, an emphasis, and you know, Allah will give them the guidance into the right path. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. So Allah says that after their patience, their strength, and their sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find a way for them. And then they إِذْ قَامُوا. The word قَامُوا, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you that these people were not passive. قَامُوا, they stood up. They stood up for their beliefs. They stood up for their faith. And they did not, you know, they were not violent, but they were active. He said, we are not going to accept that tyranny, we're going to leave. أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Wasn't it the dominion of Allah wasn't so fast that you migrate in it and you seek a place where you can worship Allah? And it was just young people. They were probably in their teens. Fitya. Al-fata, usually when you say al-fata, the beard is not completely out there yet. They were young people, like many of the young people that are with us tonight. Fityatun amanu bi rabbihim wa zidnahum huda wa rabatna ala qulubihim idh qamu. They stood up. Faqalu rabbuna rabbu as-samawati wal-ard. Our Lord is the Lord of heavens and earth. Rububiyyatu Allah. Allah is the cherisher. Allah is the creator. This is our Lord. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا. We will not call a Lord, we will not call a God, we will not call an ilah other than Him. Uluhiyya. So they, in these few words, they profess tawheed in its entirety. رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا. We will not call any other deities beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذَا شَطَطَا. If we did, we should indeed have uttered an enormity in disbelief. شَطَط. What is شَطَط? Is to transgress the limit in a wrong way, in erroneous way. الشَطَط. شَطَط cannot be correct. Cannot be an exaggeration unless it's in a negative way. And they said, if we call any lords, any gods beside Allah, لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذَا شَطَطَا. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. There's our people. They have taken for worship gods other than Allah, other than Him. لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. Wouldn't they bring a clear authority? What is their evidence? What are these things that they're calling beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a clear wrong. It's a clear ظلم. In Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. الشِّرْك is a great ظُلْم. It's a clear wrong. It's a mischief. It's a transgression. And here's the same thing. They said, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who does more wrong? Who can be more wrong than he who invents a lie against Allah? افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. They lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can anything be more wrong than that? So these young people, they had a clear understanding of what is Tawheed is all about. What is Tawheed? And what it's all about. They had pure, clear, and firm aqeedah. They may not even have a sharia at that time that they could practice well. But they had a very firm aqeedah. We don't know their sharia. The majority of the scholars said they were on the sharia of Isa alayhi salam, of Jesus, the Islam that Isa alayhi salam came with. And then they started discussing, where do we go? They were very clear in one thing, their aqidah. You see their aqidah completely unshaken. They know exactly what their hearts are all about. But then now they need a plan. They gathered themselves outside the city and they wanted a place where they can say La ilaha illallah. وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And they said amongst themselves to one another, and when you withdraw from them, and that which they worship, except Allah. Said, let's isolate ourselves from those disbelievers, from those pagans, from those mushrikeen. وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. I love this ayah. It's beautiful. It tells you what iman, how iman, when iman falls in the heart, what effect the iman would have on people. They said, فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. Let's take refuge. Let's hide in the cave. Now when I say the word cave, what do you think of? Usually, a place with a small entrance. Jazakallah. Ikramakallah. A place that is tight, right? The majority of caves in this world are tight spaces. And these are several people that have to share that space. Usually caves are what? They're dark. And now see how they're describing how they're going to go into the cave. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Allah will expand. Allah will open His mercy to you. And nashr. You know, the tightness of the cave, but when you have faith in it, when you have belief, when you're going there with La ilaha illallah, that tight place becomes an expansive, vast, wide place for your heart. Because your heart can worship. Because your heart can practice Tawheed, even in the tightest place. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he would be put in prison, he said, my enemies cannot do anything with me. My paradise is in my heart. And I take that with me anywhere I go. They cannot really imprison me. They cannot put me in darkness because the light is in my heart. That is true faith. And you see that is reflected in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ. Instead of, you know, hide in that tight, no, you're going to the cave so Allah will expand, will give you vastness, the wide place. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And the word رَحْمَ, not مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. From mercy, from His mercy. The closeness to Allah and to them. See, this is what iman does to people, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards iman. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ. This is an honor for them to tell him مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ instead from مِنْ رَحْمِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. From His own mercy, Allah will give you a lot in that cave. And then more than that, وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. And will make it easy for you, your affairs. That will give you what you need. How can that happen, Allah? You know, you can't plant anything in the cave. You can't eat in a cave. You can't hunt in a cave. You can't, you know, gather or do anything in a cave. It's a rocky, solid place. Got nothing there. And Allah said, you go into the cave And if you go into the cave, Allah will take care of you. So they had iman, and what do they have in this verse? They have true tawakkul, true reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the lessons that we take from the people of the cave. يُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. And then Allah tells us how He took care of them, and how He cared for them, and when they relied truly and fully on Him. Allah says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. Allah says that even He placed the cave in a way. Now they're asleep, and they're going to be asleep for decades and centuries. They're going to be asleep for a long time. They're laying there in that cave. Now if the sun is striking the cave directly, they will burn up with the ultraviolet rays. You know, even if it's for a few hours a day, now they're sitting there, and the sun strike them, you know, we shield ourselves from that ray all the time. But if you might see somebody who was maybe trying to sunbathe on a beach or something, and if they sleep, they wake up with what? With first bad sunburns. I mean, sometimes it's first degree, but sometimes it goes into a second degree burn. Sun is a violent, you know, it's a very harsh thing if you're exposed to it. So Allah is telling us, and you see the sun. You might have seen the sun when it rose declining to the right from their cave, and when it sets turning away from them to the left. So it is enough to keep the place not too damp and not too moist, so they don't have mold growing on them, and at the same time it's not a direct sunlight that would burn them. And Allah says, وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. Why they lay in the midst of the cave. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. These are from the signs of Allah. Allah planned it. Allah plotted that for them. Allah created that. Allah made that for them. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Then Allah says, He whom Allah guides, He is the rightly guided. He is the truly guided. But he whom Allah sends astray, for him you will find no wali. You will have no guiding person, no guiding friend to lead him to the right path. Now what does guidance have to do with this? Allah says, you see the sun, you know, give with the sun the miracle of Allah, how He put the cave in a way that the sun is just right to sustain their flesh, their bones, their being through this long sleep, long period of sleep. Then Allah speaks about guidance in the same ayah. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Who guided them to the cave? Who guided them to Islam? Who guided them out of their city? Who guided them to gather outside the city? Who guided them to come into this cave? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is telling you, if you believe, you will get guidance, and then Allah will keep guiding your way all the way. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. And then the emphasis and the practical lesson and the evidence of that, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. SubhanAllah. This Qur'an is so tight. This Qur'an is muhkam. It is so complete and perfect. And there is nothing that is said there in the Qur'an to fill a space. Or to, it's everything is just in its right way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing them, the miracle of keeping those people for so many years. Allah says, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. And you would have thought them awake, whereas they were asleep. What does that mean? Their vital functions are going. They're breathing, right? And more than that, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. We turn them right and left. We turn them on the right side, and we turn them on the left side. Now that is a scientific miracle. Now we know when people lay on one side, and they go to sleep for a long time, what's going to happen to them? and have ulcers. They will die probably within less than a week out of deep infections that will go actually into the bone. We've, you know, many people that practice medicine see that. People that lay in bed for a long time, or they're paralyzed, or they cannot move, sometimes the skin goes all the way down, and you have a big ulcer, big necrotic place that goes right into the bone, into the back, the lower backbone, and creates very bad infections that people die from. Allah says, no. تَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. All their vital functions are going. The hearts are beating, they're breathing. You look at them, you think they're alive. You know, that they're awake even. وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. But they're asleep. And then Allah turns them right and turns them left. So their body is preserved. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And yet more ayats, more proofs. Subhanallah. وَكَلْبُهُمْ, their dog. بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. At the opening of the cave, and their dog stretching forth his two forelegs at the entrance of the cave. Why is that? Now, for any animal, you know, like let's say there were bears or lions or whatever, you know, the dog, when they see the other animal in the opening of the cave, they will not come and attack those sleeping people. This dog, as if the dog is alive and guarding. Basatun dira'i, when the dog is in that position, that's a guarding position for the dog. So even the dog was sitting there for all that time as a guard bil wasid. Al wasid is the entrance of that cave. So they were protected. See, Allah is the protector, but Allah gives reasons and gives things and causes for the protection for him to come to human beings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that their appearance became so scary that nobody would even try to get into the cave and try to attack them. Allah says, لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا. If you are to look at them, had you looked at them, you would certainly have turned back from them in flight. You would run away from their appearance. And you would certainly have been filled with awe or fear of them. And then after all of that time, Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. And then likewise, we awakened them from that long slumber. بَعَثْنَاهُمْ, resurrected them, we raised them. لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ. That they might question one another. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. One of them said, you know, here they are, they came out of the town, they had nothing with them, they had no food, they had no plan. And they were so tired, and they got into the cave, and they slept and slept. So when they got up, they looked at each other. They knew that some time has passed. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. One of them said, how long do you think we stayed here? How long do you think we slept? قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Maybe a day, maybe part of a day. You know, you can't sleep 24 hours. So they know that how long they really slept. قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Maybe a day, maybe a part of a day. But they were just, you know, woken up and they were discussing. And they said, قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. Allah knows how long we stayed. Things that we don't know, this is another lesson. Anything we don't know about, let's not argue about it, let's not discuss about it. Allahu أَعْلَمُ. This is a beautiful word for the believer to say. Allahu أَعْلَمُ. قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. But let's get to the important thing. We're hungry. You know, we need to eat. They've been hungry for hundreds of years. They don't know that. But they know that at least for a day they haven't eaten since they escaped the town. قَالُوا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Send one man, one person, one of you, بِوَرِقِكُمْ. الْوَرِقْ is فِضَّة. وَرِقْ is silver. Silver coins that they had with them. And they were children of, you know, wealthy people, well-to-do people. And they said, فَبَعْثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَارِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Send one of them, one of you, with these silver coins to the city. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. And let them find out which is a good lawful food. So you see, is this iman? They were concerned with their hunger and even the starvation that they might have felt at that time. So let's make sure when we send that person, azka ta'aman, bring good food. Azka, not meaning, you know, fatty food or, you know. No, zakah, it means clean and lawful, halal food. It's the only thing they want after all that starvation. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَ طَعَامًا. This is the believers. أَيُّهَا أَزْكَ طَعَامًا. فَلْيَأْتُكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِنْ. SubhanAllah, every word tells you how much good believers they are. فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ. To remember, فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ with the provision, meaning that comes as from Allah. Where does the rizq from? It's only from Allah. So they said, let's send somebody, bring some halal rizq for us. Some halal provision. Some sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are really, and they're fitya, brothers and sisters. They're very young people. These why they were examples to the believers throughout history. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَ طَعَامًا فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. And let them be careful so they would not be caught. They still are fearful for their religion. They said, if we're caught, then this tyrant king and those idol worshippers will come after us. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. And let him be careful and let no man know of you. When we go back to the hadith, or the athar of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ibn Abbas said that the king, those people, when they disappeared from the city, their parents, their families started looking for them. Where did they all go? And their families were pagan families, were disbelievers. So they go to the king of the city and they said, our children disappeared. And somehow the matter got to that tyrant king. And the tyrant king said, these are people that disappeared. Something happened. There's something to their affair. So they wrote the names of those people on a raqim, according to that narration. And they kept their names right in that tablet. Those people that disappeared for that long time. But then Abdullah ibn Abbas said, ذَلِكَ الْمَلِكُ ذَهَبْ. That king went away, and many generations came. And then a believing king comes to govern the town, and that town turns into a believing Muslim town. So when this person, this one of them that was sent by his believing companions, by his friends, to buy food, he walks into this town thinking that this was the same town that was the pagan, the disbelieving town. And then he gets into a bread place, into a bakery, and he buys some bread. And what does he pay with? The silver coins. So according to this ether, the baker looks at this, he said, where did you bring this ancient money? Where are you bringing, you know, like a coin collector or something, you know? Where did you get this money? And he said, you know, is this a treasure that you found? The first thing that the baker thought, that this is a young person who's bringing silver money. You've never seen this young person before, and he's bringing old money. So he said, you must have found a treasure. So he started struggling with him. He said, where is the treasure? Where did you find that treasure? And the man said, what do you mean? My father is so and so. He said, we never heard of your father. He said, how come you accuse me of stealing a treasure? I'm a noble person. I'm not a thief. So he told him, that's my father is so-and-so. He said, who's your father? We never heard of this father. He said, he's in the court of the king. What do you mean? You know, my father is an important person. They said, what king? He said, king so-and-so. He said, this king died 300 years ago. SubhanAllah. So they take him to the new king. They take him to the governor, to the new king of this town. And then king said, give me that old tablet that we have. And then he started asking him the questions, and the affairs were written in that raqim, the people, how they disappeared. And he tells them, yes, these are all my friends. This, I'm one of them. And they said, where are they at? And he said, we're in the cave right outside the city. So he said, well, just take us with you. Let's go to this cave. And people started gathering. And the man said, you can go with me, but don't rush into the cave, all of you together, because those my friends, they're expecting, you know, they might think you're attacking them. They're fearful for their life and for their religion. And when all of you come, you know, right into the cave, they will go into panic. And I don't want them to fear. You know, this is obviously a sign of Allah. So Ibn Abbas said that they said, well, you go first and you tell your brothers what is going on, and then we will meet with all of you. And everybody is witnessing this miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes into the cave and he never comes out. And then when they look at them, they were all dead. They were all truly in the state of death with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the miracle, but the miracle was a live miracle. The miracle was proven to those people that were in the city at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ, and so we made their case known. They were found. وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. So we made them be found, and we made their case known to others, that they might know that the promise of Allah is true. Wa'alaikum as-salam. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. Now why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. That they know that the promise of Allah is true, and our there is no doubt in it. Because the wa'adullah, he showed the people of the cave his promise. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the believers? لَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنَى. That Allah, those who believe in Him, Allah promised them, لَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, will give them strength on earth, if they are true believers. And then their fear will turn into safety. And they saw with their own eyes how this entire town of pagans turned into a Muslim town. لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. That's from the people of the cave perspective. From the townspeople perspective, they know that the promise of Allah to protect the believers is true. They were the few helpless young people that Allah protected them because of their belief. And then the more important promise is the promise of resurrection. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. For Allah can show us these miracles live on earth. Allah is more capable, and Allah is able, and Allah عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, to resurrect us on the day of judgment. إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ, that they dispute among themselves about the case, and they said, ابْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانَ, construct a building over them. رَبُّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ, their Lord knows best about them. Allah is more knowledgeable about them. And then Allah says, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. Then those who won their point said, we verily shall build a place of worship over them. And Allah says there will be more dispute even there. سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. They will say there were only three of them and the fourth was their dog. وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. And they would say five and the sixth was the dog. رَجْمًا بِالْغَيْبِ, guessing the unseen. Nobody really knows except Allah. قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ. Say, my Lord is best knowledgeable. Allah knows best their number. مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. None knows them, truly knows the knowledge of them, their names or their numbers or how many they were, illa qalil, except a few. فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. So do not debate about the number, about this story, except with a clear proof that has been revealed for you. You only discuss the clear signs of Allah in the Quran. إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. And consult not any of them, the people of the scripture, the people of the book, about the affair of the people of the cave. So in this particular story, the ulama said, you cannot go beyond the Quranic revelations. In this particular story, what has been revealed to us, you cannot go beyond that and get any stories from the people of the book. Allah says, وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. You cannot take any information other than what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the reminder, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. Like we said in the beginning, and never say to anything, I shall do such and such thing tomorrow, إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, except with saying, inshaAllah, if Allah wills it, if Allah will. And remember your Lord. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. And remember your Lord when you forget, and say, وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. And say, it might be that my Lord guides me unto a nearer way of truth than this, to come closer to His path. And then Allah tells us exactly how long they stayed in there. وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 years. وَازْدَادُوا 9. And they stayed in their cave for 300 years. And then Allah says, وَازْدَادُوا 9, adding 9. And the interpreters, the scholars said, 300 years of the solar calendar is equal to 309 years of the lunar calendar. And so they stayed, whichever your calendar is, you understand, if it's the solar calendar, 300 years exactly. And if you follow a lunar calendar, it's a 309 years. And by the way, that's 109,000 days and 500 days, more or less. So this is exactly that period of time that equals either 300 years of the solar calendar or 309 years of the lunar calendar. And then Allah says, قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا. Say, Allah knows best how long they stayed. لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. With Him is the knowledge of the unseen, of heavens and earth. أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ. He clearly sees. He is the whole seer. And He is the all hearer. He hears everything. مَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَلِيٍّ. They have no supporter, no helper, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. And He will make none to share His decision with His rule. وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِن كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَن تَجِدَ مِن دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. And recite what has Allah revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Qur'an, of the book, of your Lord. None can change His words, and none will find a refuge other with Him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a clear instruction to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. And keep yourself, O Muhammad, patiently with those who call to Allah. Why is that? What does that have anything to do with the story of the people? Because they stuck together, الصحبة. Believers should always be with each other. Believers should always choose believers for their company. Believers should always be together and be caring for each other. Allah says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. They stay with those who call to Allah day and night, and they seek only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, the time really has passed, and I have to stop here. But it is worthwhile to go back and really reflect on those meanings and all the lessons that we get from the story of the people of the cave. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَيَا فَوْزَ مُسْتَغْفِرِينَ.